Welcome to another installment of the Casket and Funeral Supply Association podcast. Here at CFSA, we're committed to bringing you a regular lineup of funeral service VIPs and leaders to take a few moments to share knowledge, trends, and perspectives. I am Tim Murphy, your host, CEO of CFSA, with here at our world headquarters in beautiful Indianapolis. Today, we're pleased to have Paul LeMasters with us, the principal of LeMasters Consulting, a Cincinnati, Ohio-based consulting firm that provides proactive prevention and reactive counseling through education and support for the death care profession. He was our 2019 keynoter for the CFSA annual conference and is a 20-year veteran of the funeral profession. He decided to change it up after that 20 years and go to law school. And as his website says, yes, and he passed. You know, it's interesting that you had that transition of career. I had a very similar background. I was an embalmer and funeral director for only 12 years, and then became an association executive. I had considered actually going to law school at one point, but then it occurred to me that I could never pass a bar.
The great bar joke, always a great one. Yeah,
you know, you just got to keep them coming, right?
Love it. So
I should have had my cell phone with me because I have an app on there that does rim shots so that you can give yourself your own rim shots, you know, just in case nobody else would.
Well, duly recognized. I liked it.
Well, I appreciate that. So now kind of getting more serious now, economic factors like the spike in fuel prices has impacted many industries and funeral supply is not immune. We put an anonymous survey out to our members over the past couple of weeks asking about how they have been impacted, and more than 60% of respondents said they have either done it, plan to, or are considering it. What's interesting is while no one likes to pay more money, all the companies that have either implemented a surcharge or have started talking about doing so said their customers have all either largely understood the need or at least had mixed responses. But none said the response had been mostly or entirely negative. So, Paul, what are you hearing from the funeral homes you're working with?
So obviously it's a big thing when people across the board start seeing increases. And but I mean, it's the world we are in right now. I just got a thing, like probably most of the people, where it finally hit me directly, and Amazon Prime just raised their prices. And in part due to everything they're dealing with. So no one is immune, even Amazon. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, nobody likes to have to be prices raised. I know on the funeral side, you know, one of the most common things I've been hearing from them is, all right, what do I do? And again, I think it's hard to have anybody say, oh, I'm happy about it. I do believe most people expected it and are used to it. And the largest thing I hear now is, how do I convey this to the consumer? What am I able to do? And we actually have history on this. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we had that huge fuel increases in price that affected a lot of companies. And what we started to see were a lot of companies adding fuel surcharges. So no different. But what was interesting about that is at that time, funeral homes thought, oh, I'll just add the surcharge to my price list and I'll pass it on to the consumer. And what we knew and ultimately heard in conversations with the Federal Trade Commission is that they felt that that was not allowed, unacceptable under the funeral rule. And they're correct. It would run afoul of the funeral rule. So for most businesses that are asking me, all right, can I pay this, put it on? I tell them, well, not directly. And there's three reasons. One, the FTC has been very clear that there are set certain prices that have to be on your price list. And they're supposed to be one item, itemized, but individually, meaning the consumer shouldn't have to look at three different things to get a price for one product. So that's one of the big picture items. The other thing is there is only one non-declinable item on your price list, and that is your basic service fee. And the idea is if you added a fuel surcharge, you would want everybody to pay it, which would make it non-declinable, which is also forbidden under the FTC. And the other third is that this is already basically built into the FTC. Under the basic service fee, there is a provision in the description, and the words at the end say, this fee includes all of my pricing, and overhead. So there's already a spot for it in your basic service fee. So that's a FTC way of saying you can do it, but basically you just have to raise one of your prices, either raise your basic service fee by $50 and then all the families pay it, or you can, raise your caskets. I think the funniest thing that I've heard, though, is people say, well, I'm going to raise my prices, but I'm going to put a note to the family on it, if I'm allowed, to explain why I'm doing it. And I said, well, I think you're fair to do that, but I don't know that a consumer, one, is really going to care that much, nor do you have enough repeat business that a family is going to come in and go, wait a second, we were here 2 years ago, and I'm pretty sure that basic service fee has gone up $50. How do you explain that, Mr. Director? So I don't know that there's any need to draw attention to it. I tell people, why draw attention that you're raising a price? They're not going to notice. You can sit there and run under the umbrella that, hey, despite everything going on in the world, I'm still your local funeral director, not changing my prices at all.
And that's a wise approach, I think, from the funeral service side. From the supply side, I've talked to several of our members about this who are implementing and have implemented the fuel surcharges, and they're being very transparent and upfront with their customers. And they're saying, hey, because diesel fuel has gone up 3x, in some states 4x, from what it was just a year and a half ago, that they're just putting on the invoices, this invoice represents a fuel surcharge of whatever percent or whatever amount. So they're being very transparent with the funeral home. So we think that's healthy and probably the best, most responsible way to go. Would you agree?
I do. Because in the grand scheme of things, the suppliers are in a worse position for this, because they really, have to disclose or show that they're raising their prices, which every business is allowed. But the reason on the supplier side I like a surcharge is that in reality, hopefully, there's a day where they can remove it, and then they look like the hero, right? They get to do that. And the problem is if a company just says, hey, we're going to raise our price, Amazon, that's what they did. Hey, we're just going to raise our price now to absorb this. The problem with that, they're never going to lower their price now. So I actually like, as a on the other side of it, I'd rather see it a surcharge with the hopes that maybe it'll disappear one day, versus if somebody raises their prices, it's never going to go back.
Yep. I think we're going to see that in a lot of industries. I think that that the CFSA members are probably going to opt for the get rid of it when it's no longer necessary. That's kind of where I predict that most of the folks are going to go.
I'd like to see that.
So let's change gears here a second. In our business, we're starting to see another round of mergers and acquisitions among funeral supply companies. Do you expect this to continue, or do you think it's about to cool down?
Yeah, I will tell you, end of last year, there was an absolute influx of M&A. And last year, you could kind of, what I saw when I talked to people, it was this fear of what's going to happen, where taxes headed, I'm going to get out while I can. But what was really interesting, and I don't know what drove, anything, but the prices on M&A it's big. I mean, the multiples that we're seeing and hearing are bigger than they've been in the last 5 years, 10 years. So I think we're going to continue to see it for a while, because now people are chasing it, right? So it was, and again, this is my opinion, we had a lot of people wanting to get out. So there was this battle to get them. And there's a lot of companies trying to buy up. So we saw these prices drive up. Well, now the prices are driven up. So now people are saying, well, maybe I do, maybe I went out now. So it's still rolling, you know, but I'm a believer what goes up must come down. And at some point, the dust is going to settle and, you know, it's going to change and they'll have to come down some, it'll slow down. It's only a finite amount of people that can sell and buy. It's a limited commodity out there. Now, I also think that SBA, you know, every few years, they kind of change the program for lending. And I think we might see some SBA changes that might make it a little bit more difficult for financing. It seems like that might be coming. I think right now, the near future, I think it's going to stay pretty healthy, though. I think there's a lot of companies trying to grow their portfolio and they're paying pretty good multiples. And because of that, I think anybody that was on the edge is going to jump.
Makes sense. In an article you published in your quarterly journal, Parliament, you said that your family focuses on making resolutions, not just at the new year, but as you see the need for them, regardless of the date on the calendar. You specifically mentioned how you focus on repeating the things you are doing well and how you can improve the things that didn't go so well. If you look at the death care industry, can you give us an example of something you would say the overall profession is doing well and should repeat, and what maybe it isn't doing so well and shouldn't be improved upon?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks for reading Parliament. So you're the subscriber, you're the one. So that email's working well, it's getting out to you. You know, as far as what's well in death care, I turn to this one a lot, but I think we recently saw it. I've always said one of the greatest gifts of anybody in the funeral profession is their ability to react to crisis. I mean, it's the premise of their business, but they do it so well. Meaning a family comes in, it's tragic, it's, you know, mom's died, and boom, they know how to take care of everything, even when it doesn't go perfectly right, they still get it done. And through the last couple of years with COVID and the pandemic, you saw no better example of that. And I was really proud to be part of death care, because as much as you saw on the news, everybody and all these professions and everybody that was struggling to make it work, and death care, they got through it. It wasn't always easy. And you know, they didn't get all the help in the world either. I mean, I know working with ICCFA as general counsel, you know, we were fighting to get a lot of times death care recognized and suppliers as well, you know, but yet they trucked through and got it all done. And I was proud of that. And I think it shines a light on what we do well.
Excellent.
Now the not well. I hate to say I have probably a longer list here, but I'll pick one. I'll share a quick story. The thing that I always tell funeral professionals is if I wish they could get better at business, specifically pricing. And it's funny because we just talked a little bit about pricing and, you know, I'm going to put a surcharge on my GPO to my family's. And, but I'll give you the example of why I think the profession needs to get better. Here's my analogy. If you are running a store and you're selling, I don't know, shoes, and you have a certain pair of shoes that just aren't selling, most people instinctively know that what you need to do is put those shoes on sale, right? They're not selling. I got to get them to move. I'm going to lower the price. Likewise, if I got a pair of shoes that are, you know, just, I can't keep them on the shelf, you're not going to put them on sale. You're going to probably order extra, and there's a good chance you're going to raise the price, right? Basics of supply and demand. This is how every business in the world works, but for death care. And here's my example to be specific. Every year I see funeral home after funeral home take their price list, look at it and go, well, you know, we didn't raise it last year, so we better raise embalming again. And why don't we add another $50 onto our embalming fee? They're not selling embalming anymore. It isn't the hot commodity, but yet every year they turn around and they raise the price a little bit more, a little bit more. Folks, it's time to put embalming on sale. I mean, and this is just one example, but come on, this is a business. If you're not selling it, put it on sale, find a way to market it better. Meanwhile, what is hot, no pun intended, is cremation, which is, you know, it's on fire. Another good bad pun. And yet that one, we see business after business after business lowering their cremation price every year. And I keep telling the profession, folks, get better at business. This is not how you're supposed to do it. You know, there is an industry that did exactly this years ago. It was the copy and print businesses. You may remember them, you know, back when, you know, it was 15 cents to make a copy. And then somebody said, well, I can do it for 14, 12, 10, 8, 5, buy one, get one free, 5 cents, a penny. They're all gone. Now you have two major players that you can go if anybody needs copies. But anyway, that's what I think we don't do well, and that we really need to take a fresh look at it.
That is a really interesting analogy, but it's also very illustrative at the same time. So that would, I think people, our listeners, are certainly going to kind of give a big aha to that and say, oh my gosh, maybe I have been not doing this very well all these years. So that's really kind of nice that you brought that up.
Thanks.
I have a normal bonus question that I ask every one of our guests, and this is always kind of one of the more fun ones. And that is, what do you know now that you wish you would have known at the beginning of your career?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, it's a great question. And I'm not trying to make it a cheesy answer, but what I wish what I know now is that I don't know much. And I wish I would have realized that when I first started, because I think when I first started, I came in from death care. I thought I really kind of understood death care, and I thought I had seen a lot of issues. And what I've realized and what I know now is you're never going to see it all. Anything that you think will never happen will happen. And I wish I would have been more open to that early on, because I do see it. I'm glad I recognize it now, though, because I've become more open to listen to things that early on I would have said, no, you can't do that. And now, because things change and we have new ways and new processes, now I sit there and say, you know what? All right, I have to relook at this, and maybe we can do it. And I think that's a really tough thing for anybody to do. Again, because we do think we kind of know it all. And a lot of times we're afraid to go back and change our view or opinion on something. And that's very detrimental. I wish I would have realized that much earlier. But I know it now, so that's what I'll run with.
All right. Well, Paul, thank you for your time today in enlightening the CFSA members. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind everyone, not only here, but in our listening audience, that the annual conference and trade show is coming up on April 25 and 26 at the JW Marriott Hotel in downtown Indianapolis, which will feature the first ever Women in Leadership Forum on the 25th. Simply visit cfsaa.org to learn more and to register. Once again, Paul, thanks for being with us, and I look forward to seeing you as soon as we can.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.